Good morning. Thank you, Cheryl. It's nice. Thank you. So today we get to continue in our study of the Apostles' Creed and Blessed Assurance, the Father's Promise, is my sermon title for today. And let me just start with, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. The reason why we need to remember this critical point of the ascension, which really gets overlooked a lot, it is the blessed assurance, right? So Jesus comes down to us, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and he was made man. He walked among us, but he suffered. He was crucified. He was buried and dead. He even descended to hell. And praise be to God, on the third day, he rose again. But that's not it. And I want you to know it is so important, this doctrine of the ascension. And blessed assurance, I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but this is powerful. Open up your hymnals, because we're going to sing this song to close today, a classic hymn by Frances Jane Crosby. She was born on March the 24th, and she died on February the 12th. She lived 94 years. She died in 1915. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. Blessed Assurance. But I want you to look at this. This right here, we can look at this and we can shut the book and we can go home. Because this is the question. This is the question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, as your Lord? Are you willing, take a look on page 445, are you willing to say, yes, Lord, yes? If you're willing to say, yes, Lord, yes, and embrace this truth, you can go to page 446. It's right next to it. And have blessed assurance. Because that Jesus who died on the cross, he is the assurance of being blessed. Now go back to page 445. This is amazing. Look at the top, the category of yes, Lord, yes. Surrender, repentance, and commitment. You have got to surrender, repent, and commit your life if you want assurance, comfort, and rest. Rest assured, that is the truth, and that is the gospel. And so this morning, I'm hoping that when we leave here today, we recognize how critical this is to our faith. That Jesus didn't just fade away, but we, like sheep, have all gone astray, and we need reminders all the time. And we are just like those disciples who didn't get it. Okay? So let's jump into Luke 24. I'm going to read this Luke 24 passage. Then I want to spend some time looking at two characters who actually went up into heaven. I want to spend some time in Hebrews, but I also want to look at the book of Acts. But I want us to right now just focus on Luke 24, verses 50 to 53. This is the last chapter of the book of Luke. Luke is also the author of Acts. Acts is going to give us a little bit more context, but I want to get you up to speed to where we are in the text of 50 to 53. This is Easter morning. Easter morning. Wow, he has risen. Why do we seek the living among the dead? I don't know. We keep doing it over and over again, don't we? We search after dead things. We need to search after living things. And his name is Jesus. That is the assurance and the comfort and the rest that we get. Now, after the resurrection and the appearance, Jesus appears to these two fellows going back home. They are so depressed, discouraged. Their faces are downcast. They're walking 7 miles back to a town called Emmaus. Jesus shows up. He opens the scriptures to them. Goes into their house. He breaks bread. Their eyes are open. Then boom, Jesus is gone. They turn around after being so downhill and downcast that they went back up to Jerusalem, uphill and upbeat. And they went back to Jerusalem and they find the 11 disciples and they're like, we've seen the risen Lord. And Jesus shows up. And I'm going to jump in just a little bit before this passage I want to focus on today. And Jesus says, the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and look, I'm sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered on high. Now, that's verse 49, then we get verse 50. I do think there's some time that takes place between this, okay? Because just now in verse 49, this is Easter Sunday, okay? And so Luke jumps in and he's going to give us more detail in the book of Acts, which we'll get into later. But this, I want us to focus. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, lifting up his hands. He blessed them, and while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple complex praising and blessing God. Now, I want you to think about this. They were filled with great joy. Jesus has just left them. When I think about the Youth Academy, right? So back in the day, Jessica was in this many moons ago. It was like any other camp. You get to the end of the camp and there's tears, right? Everybody's crying. You know, it's this mountaintop experience. And why is everybody crying? Because you're going back into the world and you're being separated from your friends. Jesus and his friends are being separated, but they're filled with great joy. Why is that? Now, this is not the first time we've seen somebody ascend into heaven. Genesis chapter 5 is a very interesting chapter. It gives us a lot of genealogical information. We see Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Enoch was the grandfather of Noah. In 2 Kings, this might be a more familiar text. The prophet Elijah, who also appears with Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor, when Jesus is transfigured and he's dazzling white, right? And so in 2 Kings, I don't want to read the whole thing, but I want to highlight in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah is getting ready to be taken back. This is the prophet of prophets, right? He has done so many incredible things, and he's getting ready to be taken away. And his predecessor, Elisha, is with him. And three times, Elijah tells Elisha, stay here. I'm going to Bethel. And Elisha says, no, sir. I'm going with you. I am going with you. See, this is, we want to go with Jesus wherever he goes. He says, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I will come back. It took a while for the disciples to be able to have that great joy fill their hearts. It takes us a lifetime too, I'm sure. So Elijah says, God's sending me to Jericho. Stay here. He said, nope, I'm going with you. All right. He says, nah, I'm going to the Jordan. I'm going to cross the Jordan. Stay here. I'm going with you. And then here at the end, in verse 11 of 2nd chapter of 2 Kings, as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire with horses of fire suddenly appeared and separated the two of them. Then Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha watched. He kept crying out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Then he never saw Elijah again. Now here's the good news of great joy for us. We will see Jesus again. Now for some people, that's not going to be good news. And that's just the truth. Because they are not going to say, yes, Lord, yes. They are not going to place their faith in Jesus as God's only son. I want to jump over to Hebrews. And I want to read a little bit of Hebrews, and then I want to go back to Acts and look closely at this ascension of Jesus and what it means for us. It's interesting, the author of Hebrews, he begins, long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact expression of his nature, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, so he became higher in rank than the angels, just as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. He gave Jesus the name above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, in heaven, on earth, and below the earth. And then after several chapters of the author giving us this reminders and pointing out that Jesus is greater than the angels, he's greater than Moses and everybody. In chapter 7, the end of chapter 7, he writes, "For this is the kind of high priest we need, greater than any Melchizedek, okay? Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day as high priests do for their own sins. Then for those of the people. He did this once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak. I stand here, right here. I am elevated above you, but I sure as heck ain't elevated above you. I am weak. Got it? Right? I can't do it for you. Men who are weak, but the promise of the oath which came after the law appoints a son who has been perfected forever. Now, the main point, I love the way they finish this up. Now, the main point of what being said is this. We have this kind of high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which is set up by the Lord, not by man. We, humanity, have a history of messing things up, don't we? I mean, you go back and you read Genesis 1, you read Genesis 2. Once you get to Genesis 3, right? And the good news is, ever since then, right, there's a foreshadowing of what? The blessed assurance in Jesus. And it all comes back to, are we willing and ready to say yes, Lord? Yes. And so the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. This right here, as I read this text, is it makes sense, right? This is part two. This is the sequel to the gospel according to Luke, the book of Acts. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. And he, after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. And speaking about the kingdom of God. And then we see where Jesus is talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the disciples, come on now. Like, we do the same thing. It's like, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Okay, we're going to get it now, right? Like, that's not for you to know, okay? It's all going to work out. But you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, into Judea, Samaria, all the way to the ends of the world. And after this, he was taken up. And as they were watching, a cloud received him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing into the heaven. And suddenly, two men in white clothes stood by them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." Jesus will come again. It may not be in our lifetime, but Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead, and we may stand accountable before his return. You see, we need to place our trust in Jesus. That's the assurance that we have. That God Almighty emptied himself and came down and lived in our mess. To fix our mess. He suffered for us. He died for us. He was crucified for us. Blessed assurance. You know, what's interesting about about this song is the way it came about. You know, you probably know Fanny Crosby was, she was blind. And it was about 6 weeks after she was born that a poorly trained physician placed a mustard plaster of some sort over her eyes because she had this infection. And that blinded her. Some say that she was blind from birth, and that's a different story. But, you know, I think about poorly trained. You know, we're called to disciple and to train and to be ministers and ambassadors of the good news, to help be the hands and feet of Jesus that offer the comfort and the rest and the assurance to a hurting world. You know, Fanny Crosby, when she was 9 years old, she always said, like her jewel, her greatest gift was content. We have a hard time. I know I do. I have a hard time being content unless I'm walking around in the backyard going from one plant to the next. Okay? But at the age of 9, she wrote this. At the age of 9, oh, what happy, oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings to enjoy that other people don't, to weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Think about that. You know, and it reminds me in the Gospel of John of the boy who's born blind and Jesus heals him and he says, you know, the Pharisees, you can physically see, but you're blind because they can't see the Messiah standing right there in front of them. The person that they had been looking for all these years, centuries, waiting for the Messiah to come. Great joy. You know, it reminds me of the shepherds out in the field. The angels proclaims, I bring you good news of great joy. And what happens? They run to Bethlehem. And they find that it's just as they said. There's the little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. They're out there keeping sheep. That's a dirty job. But there's a new sheep that's been born. It's called the Lamb of God. Forty days. Think about that. It took 40 days after being with Jesus for 3 years and witnessing the crucifixion and the resurrection before they actually realize that it's okay. It's okay to let Jesus go into the sky because he's going to send us this power from on high, and it's called the Holy Spirit. But he's never going to leave us or forsake us. In 1873, Fanny Crosby was visiting a friend. And her name was Phoebe Palmer Knapp. And Phoebe was married to a fellow by the name of Joseph Knapp, who was one of the founders of Metropolitan Life Insurance. Metropolitan Life Insurance to this day serves over 90 million people. So he had a little bit of money, right? He bought Phoebe an organ, and she was pretty good. And she could come up with these tunes. And Fanny's over Fanny's at Phoebe's house. That sounds like a fun, like, little cartoon, doesn't it? Phoebe and Fanny, right? And Phoebe says, hey, listen to this. What do you think? So she plays a tune. And Fanny says, hold on. She gets down on her knees, and she prays. And she comes up, and she says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's what it says to me. And she wrote the tune that we will sing today, right then, right there, on that day. You see, Phoebe had the melody, and Fanny had the words, right? And sometimes we need a new melody in our heart. See, because the word has come to us. The word has come down in grace and truth. And that truth will set us free. If we say, yes, Lord, yes. You see, let me tell you something. Do you need a good, great life insurance policy? Jesus. That's an eternal life insurance policy. Are you seeking some blessed assurance? Would you like to be filled with great joy? I know the answer is yes. I know the answer is yes. And the question we all must ask, are we willing to say yes, Lord, yes, to repent and to surrender and to commit?
Assurance, Jesus is mine. I'll sing the first.